So now we really get to the hard stuff, and this
that
is where
wasn't
we
the hard stuff.
No, that was the the icebreaker.
Right? Oh my goodness gracious! What did I sign up for?
The cyber coffee.
And I don't even drink coffee. But this is
a part where we do have more of a focused discussion on our guests. So Tony, and especially on our anniversary episode, this is even more special. So again, thank you for being on the show. But first question, you know, how has cybersecurity impacted you, your career, business endeavors, lifestyle, et cetera?
Yeah, it's impacted me immensely. I think that, you know, I talked about it previously about like students, clients, you know, looking me up and things like that. Like, I'm a pretty straightforward, transparent person, but there's still things that you always are like, you know, like, come on, you know, there's some things right. that you want to keep like to yourself or whatever. But I know that I also don't have the education to be able to know, like, how do I protect those things, remove things from searches, and do that kind of stuff. And so I feel like it has had me at a pause, like, of how far do I want to push, like, my public appearance, I guess. And so, like, I don't have a Instagram, I don't have a Twitter, I don't have a Snapchat, I don't have, you know, any of those platforms. TikTok. I don't have TikTok. I don't have, like, you know, so where they...
Especially when they go down, so it influenced your decision to delete every one of them.
Yeah, well, I've never had any of those.
Perfect.
And so, but I also am in that in-between space of I was an adult prior to social media. And
right,
so
every one of your clients are on social media, right? So that's
I was an adult prior to that, so I don't feel the necessity.
Right.
But then I'm also on the other side where, you know, I'm moving into a different phase of my career where the marketing and branding professionals are saying, you need a brand, you need an Instagram, you need a this, like, you need it. And I'm going to be one of those people who will hire someone to run those things because it won't, I have no interest. And so LinkedIn is probably what I use the most. And so, you know, Facebook is really more friends, family, you know, it was a thing that came out when I was in college and everybody was like, you should get on this thing. That was back when it was only for college students. I'm dating myself. And so, like, but I know that I'm there on that space for that reason, that I'm on the space because of what it was originally created for. Well, not originally, but for in the early years created for,
right.
which was to connect with family, friends, and stay in touch and see what's going on with each other. That's what, now what it's evolved into, I have no control over. And right. so, and I really got a LinkedIn because, you know, I was really being ushered into the space of you need to have a professional space. You don't have a website, you don't have an Instagram, you don't have this, that, so you need something. And so I was like, okay, well, the LinkedIn then. And so, you know, like, it's now I'm thinking about it always of there's going to be a crossover between Tony Dene and, you know, future Dr. such and such, where people are going to cross these two worlds that I may not always want to have crossed. And it's always at the front of my mind, always. And so not even always just to protect myself, but my family. And right. so, like, the more public you get, the more your family is exposed. And so I believe that it's not their choice to be a part of all of this. And so I think that there may be a time and day that I will have a public platform where I will, you know, do things publicly and, you know, that's my hope. I'm speaking into existence. I think that I also have to remember that the more public I get, the more the rest of my life is public as well. Right. And so that's always in the thought of my mind as a professional.
Awesome. Yeah.
What are obstacles you say you've had to overcome to get to where you are today?
Ooh, well, we only gonna give a couple. So I would say the most significant one would be I have a reading disability. And so that has affected my life forever. I mean, I guess, you know, and so I didn't receive any accommodations until I was already at my second university. And so I was admitted to the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and I cheered there my freshman year of college. And but I flunked out. Mm. One point. So whenever I applied to these other degrees that you all listed at the beginning of this, and they asked for every transcript for every higher education institution that you've ever attended, I have to submit that.
Yeah.
You know? And so without a story, you know, that tells you presently that I struggled big time. And so I never had a 3-point anything in high school. So even though I went to, you know, a college prep school for high school, I got in because I tested well. You know, I could take a test. And so you had to test into the school. I got in. But the thing being there was very difficult. You know, it started in eighth grade. And so the high school started in eighth grade. And so it was very hard for me. I struggled bad, you know, and my parents did what they could to help me, but we didn't know, you know, we didn't have, you know, the same resources and things that they have now. We didn't have the technology that we have now. And so I went to University of Missouri, Kansas City, and got put out. I appealed. They said no. And Kansas State, I had been admitted to as a high school senior. My sister went there. My older sister went to Kansas State. And so they had already admitted me. And so they, back then they kept the, you know, this is back when you had to fill out paper applications. So back
well, we remember too, don't worry.
Look, I'm talking to the public out there. Like y'all not remember, know the struggle. So right. They kept your paper application on file like for a certain amount of time. So right. I was able to transfer to Kansas State, but I came in on academic probation. Yeah, I came in on academic probation. And so, and with not knowing if I could actually do the work, I took my first exam and failed. And I had a professor, you know, black lady. She brought me into her office after I took that exam. And she said, you know this information. I don't understand why you can't show it on this paper, but you know this information. And she gave me the exam again orally, and I got an A. Wow. And that's when she took me over to the office to sign up to be tested. I had no money. Okay. I was working, you know, here, working there, Section 8, food stamps, you know, trying to just piece everything all together, you know, to stay in school. And I didn't have the gas money to even drive to go get tested. They had a student. This is at Kansas State University. Okay. So when you see all my, you know, all my stuff, don't hate on it, because she wouldn't be here if it wasn't for K-State. So I'm a proud K-State Black alumni. Okay. And so they had a student get a car at the motor pool to drive me to and from my testing.
Wow.
When I told them I didn't have the gas money. And so the testing was astronomically priced. They paid for the testing. University did. And right afterwards, I got the results. And I remember waiting and thinking, like, I hope I didn't want anything to be wrong with me, but I also wanted to know what was wrong with me.
Right.
And so got the results back. They told me everything. They told me the accommodations that would be available to me. It was a lot. But I said, I'll try everything. The first semester, I had a tutor in every class. I said, I don't know. We're just going to see what hits. You know, like they had all the different things. Back then, I had to have my textbooks on a CD-ROM. Okay.
So
yeah.
I had to have specific software installed onto my computer so that it could read my CD-ROM textbooks. And so like, it wasn't that was a perfect opportunity to depart from this. It's too hard.
Right.
Okay. It takes me 6 times longer to do my homework. It takes me, you know, whatever. It is still takes me a significant amount of time. I've been in this PhD program way longer than I would have liked to. But the thing is that look at what you have to do. You have to read. You have to write. You have to, not just a little, a lot. And so to have a reading disability is like putting a finger on your pressure point. And so, but you persevere, you know, and you move on. You know, I will graduate. I am class of 2024. I will graduate this year. And so with my PhD. And so, but that's something that I had to overcome, is a significant obstacle that affects me every day. Affect me last night. I was up to 4:30 last night trying to read through this stuff. But the thing is that if you want it, you do the things. Right. And that's just it. We all aren't handed the same hand, you know, but you just have to play your cards. And so this is the hand I was dealt. I'm thankful that technology has such evolved, but where you can do a screen reader or add on onto Chrome and let it read anything to you these days, that wasn't what it was then. And so, but I have access to it. It still takes me a significant amount of time, you know, to get through material and to write and to read and write in my dissertation right now. But, you know, I'm playing my cards.
Yeah. Resilient. That's good. Yep.
Yep. Fraser, do you have the next question?
What is your favorite coffee preference? You said you don't. We have to tap into that a little bit.
So I don't drink coffee, but I do drink tea. So I do drink tea. I love tea. And so there's a lot of, I'm from Kansas City originally. So there's a lot of places to go. Like they have tea, places, tea shops, tea houses, tea rooms, where you can go and have tea. So I love tea. I love cocoa because I love chocolate, all things chocolate. Okay. But there is a coffee company in Kansas City called Black Drip. And, you know, I don't drink coffee, but you know, there was a man, me and my best friend, Deandra, were, you know, going, when I'm home, we go on these spurs where we just let's just go where the day takes us, you know, we'll go to this one place. So I'm like, oh, have you ever heard of such a, no, we look at each other, let's go, we go. And so we went, and so this place called Ruby Jeans, it's a juicery in Kansas City, native to Kansas City. And there was a man in there with a table, with his coffee and all, and he was talking, and I was just you know, neither one of us drink coffee. And so, but, you know, I will make a note that he looked nice that day. And so, that helps when you're selling something. I'm just saying. And so, I'm just going to see what he's talking about. Right. And so, more me than her, because she's married. But, you know, and so I said, come over here with the table. Let's go. And so we listened to what he had to say. He said he was local and all kind of stuff. And we both explained we don't drink coffee. We were just, you know, over here just looking to see. And so he let us taste some, and he added a creamer and stuff in it and made it all nice. And so, and it was really good. So I said, wow, the fact that I like this and I don't drink coffee, you know, so we both bought some. Now, I did go home and realize I don't have a coffee maker.
Don't worry, we'll provision one. We'll find one for you. We'll recommend a secure one for you.
But, you know, it was a nice thought. So really supporting another Black business, supporting another Black man selling, you know, product or whatever. So, yeah, that was that. So the coffee is great. Black Drip, if you're in Kansas City, is there. Is a great opportunity to support another Black business. And so, that's what I would suggest to the coffee drinkers out there.
Nice. So I have to say, I have to extend my congratulations to you, because I know you're a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, everything Kansas.
Now we talked about the things.
Look, there's no bad, you know, nothing bad. Like I said, I'm giving props, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to just look back at the Super Bowl. First, how did you consume the Super Bowl, you know, and just your initial reactions, just did you ever feel any time during the game I don't know if they're gonna be able to do it, or but it seemed to be in control most of the game.
This is not a safe space. Okay.
Oh no, don't say that.
I watched the Super Bowl with my dissertation on one screen and Paramount Plus on the other screen. And so pull it up live. So that was how I watched it this time around. Last year I was in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And so at my mom's house, actually. And so that was how I consumed it that year. And of course, you know, we won last year as well. And so I think that I'm always excited, you know, for Kansas City. And so I'm always excited about that, about anything for my city. I think that I grew up in Kansas City years and years going to the games and not having the level of success that we have now. And so, you know, being a fan before the hype makes it more special. And so that is something that growing up in the city, you always dream of happening. And to have it happen so many times now is amazing, you know? And so it's hard to be away from the city when these things are happening. Unfortunately, we had a horrific event happen at the parade this year. And so I was at the parade last year, but a horrific event happened at the parade this year. So my condolences to the family of the people who lost, you know, someone dear to them, and then also the people who were injured in that incident. And so it definitely puts a damper on, you know, feeling like it's hard to celebrate when knowing that there were also people harmed in the whole mix of everything. And so that always is a secondary feeling that comes up when I think about that, that there may be some positive memories for a lot of people, but that's a very hurtful day for other people. And so it was Valentine's Day. I was here in Tennessee, so I wasn't there, but there are a lot of people reached out to me because they knew that I'm from Kansas City and that I did have friends that were there. And I did make sure that everyone was good. But for the people who didn't get a chance to come home that day, who either lost their life or went to the hospital, those people are always in my thoughts and prayers in their families. And so it's rough, but it also illuminates another side of Kansas City. With having the world platform on you, you now get to see that just like any other city, that we have our own things. So, yeah.
What are some of the things, like, so when you're not working, like what are some of your hobbies, interests that you like to do?
To help you decompress. It would help you decompress from a long day.
Yeah, I miss those. I miss hobbies. For sure. I think I pushed a lot of us aside to get done with school at this moment. I love going to events where I can connect with people. And even if I'm not the presenter, I'm not the person of the day. I love being around people. I'm just a social person. And so, you know, like next weekend, like it's also Women's History Month. It's Social Work Month. It's Women's History Month. Either way, I win. But we have an event on the campus where we're going to have an amazing opportunity to connect with people and other women here at the university and in the surrounding area. And it's put on by a collective called Educate Her. And so Dr. Christina Cobb extended an invitation, like publicly, for people to come and connect. So it's about storytelling and healing and, you know, self-expression and using writing to be able to work through those things. And I think it's going to be an amazing event. So that's next weekend. And so I love doing things like that. And so where I'm able to use some of the things that I've leaned into, things that used to really kind of hinder me, writing, reading, et cetera, now using them as a way to connect, to be able to process through emotion and feeling and self-reflection. So I like doing stuff like that. So I am taking a break next weekend to be able to do that. Nice. So I have a committee meeting on Monday. So right now, like, what hobbies? But like, usually I would love doing stuff like that. I love connecting with people, being out in the community. You know, I've been a general member of my sorority for a while. Like, once I graduate, I would love to transfer out of general membership and into a chapter where I can do more things with my sorority. And so, you know, I pay my dues so I can stay active, but I want to be able to be physically present and out in the community for my sorority again. And so I love that. I love being around like my sorority members. It you know, it gives me life. So I love my family. They're hilarious. Like, you think I'm funny? Like, please. And so I love that. I get to go home. I'm going to go home. And so reconnecting with people that I haven't connected with in a while from school or, you know, family, friends. I love game nights. Listen,
okay.
Taboo any day.
Taboo, okay.
Like, oh yes. Look, I am the champion. Okay. Nice, so nice. I think that I just love having fun, you know, laughing. I love to travel. And so something that I want to do more of. I already have a trip in mind for post grad. And so yeah, those are the things that I love to do, you know, back in the day when I had hobbies. So yes.
but Tony, that was great. And that's a great way for us to end here on this special anniversary episode. Tony, you've been a great guest. We appreciate you sharing your time with us today. And before we close out, if there's anything you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I will say that, you know, it is social work month. And so if you know a social worker, you know, it's then to show your appreciation to them. It is Women's History Month. Show appreciation to the women in your life, like, that have made a difference to you. And so my mentor has passed away. His name is Dr. Jack Gibbons, but he was a practicing social worker for many, many years and a professor at Kansas State University. His wife, Dr. Harper, and I have become very close after losing him. And so, like, he was like an awesome social worker, and she is as well. And so just remember the people that are important to you and important in your life. Take advantage of every opportunity that you can to spend time with them, and to acknowledge them and what they mean to you. And yeah, just spread the love.
Great. So that's a wrap. So thank you for tuning in to the Cyber Coffee Hour. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. You know, follow us on all of our platforms. You can find the Cyber Coffee Hour on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And that LinkedIn. Is a wrap. What?
And LinkedIn.
We're on LinkedIn. Oh, yeah. That's it. We're on LinkedIn. Yeah, we're on LinkedIn, too.
Yes.
But no, that's a wrap. Thank you, everyone. And we'll catch you on the next one.